And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Layton, how much do you guys as a team keep up with what's going on in the rest of the division? Obviously, with you guys still being in it, with how bad everything's been in the division, how much do you guys talk about it or keep up with it?
Can you say that again?
Which is how you guys, obviously, you know, you're in the last place in the division, but it's been a bad division this year. You guys are still in it. How much do you guys keep up with that? You guys talk about it? Just kind of what's that like?
I mean, don't take this personal, but I think that's a ridiculous question. I mean, we're focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on what we can do to make the playoffs. And that comes week after week after week. We focus on ourselves every single day in practice, every meeting, getting the most out of it, taking it slow, not getting too far ahead of ourselves, not worrying about other teams in our division, other teams around the league. We got to focus on ourselves. And that's going out there and getting the job done regardless of what it takes. And that's what we're focused on right now.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Well, it's week 13 in the NFL. It's week 13 here at The Athletic. It's Cowboys versus Ravens. Ravens, sans Lamar, Cowboys, sans Dak. We've got the Cowboys sitting at the glorious 3-8, and I think the Ravens are now sitting at 6-5 after their loss to the Steelers. So I think the ceiling is mediocre for this game. If we see better than mediocre football, I think it's a win for everybody. So both teams have a chance to do something. And the Ravens rolling out Dez Bryant against the Cowboys. And so we'll talk all about that, preview that all here on About Them Cowboys. I'm Kent Garrison, producing as always, producer-in-chief here at the Athletic NFL, welcoming in our panel. As always, to discuss everything when it comes to America's team. First, welcoming back from The Athletic and The Ticket, Saad Youssef. From The Athletic, Father Jonathan Mishoda. And from The Eagle / The Athletic, Kevin KT Turner. And guys, I think we could start off with something that came to my mind earlier. I was producing our Hogan Johns podcast, Chicago Bears talk, and man, there's some crazy stuff going on in Chicago right now. I don't know how plugged in you guys are to the Bears beat, but you know, they're calling for heads to roll. They're calling for Matt Nagy to get out of there. They don't have a quarterback. But it seems like this past week they've had some come to Jesus type discussions in Chicago. You know, players, coaches, closed door meetings, things like that. And it got me thinking, why hasn't that happened in Dallas? Why did that not happen after the Thanksgiving game? Why wasn't the first thing we heard about a closed-door meeting? And why hasn't there been a real... I'm not saying there hasn't been, but why haven't we heard about some kind of, all right, we're starting to take this serious now, we're going to go for this? Because it seems like around the league, we're having a lot of these, you know, heads-rolling type situations, you know, people getting fired, Lions coaching staff, you know, GM getting fired last week. I guess I want to ask you, John, what do you sense is the vibe in the locker room this week?
Well, I think the big difference between this situation and those, whether you're talking about Detroit or Chicago, and obviously
we have our new coach.
Right. And obviously obviously Philadelphia is another one that gets factored in there. I found it interesting that I get odds sent to me from different gambling websites on a weekly basis. And I thought one was pretty interesting that they had a bet on who would be the first one to go in Philadelphia and between their GM, head coach, and quarterback. And when I was just scrolling through and I stopped for a second, I'm just kind of like, that is pretty good. Like, who? It really could be any of them and I wouldn't be shocked. And so if we're at this point next year at this time, the Cowboys will be in that mix for sure. But because of COVID, because of the off season that they had, this is the first year, you know, you generally don't see that with a first year head coach, especially in these circumstances.
I don't think heads are rolling. I'm asking why isn't there like these players only type meetings happening? Why aren't people yelling at people? What's going on?
Well, I think there was that, and that's when that Jane Slater report came out, and then they did have those meetings about, hey, you know, like, look, we don't want any of this stuff getting out. Let's keep this in-house. And since then, nothing has gotten out.
Unless it's smashing
watermelons with a sledgehammer, which is very, very interesting. Shout out to Shiel's story today, ranking all the head coaches, and he mentioning that right at the top for the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy, who is ranked 28th. Go check out that
Cowboys
story.
Have Watermelon Mike and Tabasco Mike on the coaching staff. So we're getting a whole buffet by the end of the season.
I was like, so did the watermelon smashing not happen before the Thanksgiving Day game? That's what I need to know, because that thing's got to continue. If it got you a win, you need to keep rolling that thing out, right? So I don't know if that bit continued or not.
I don't think they were doing that after Marcus Paul passed away. I don't think they were doing any of that type of shenanigans.
Thank you, John. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't think about that, actually.
I'm not trying to.
A week removed from it, right? And yeah. Like, oh, yeah, move on. Good times. They beat the Vikings. No, they, yeah.
If you don't think that, I wouldn't have tweeted out a joke about that after that game.
Yeah,
I was ready with different kinds of fruits to mention, but when you have something like that, I mean, you really can't joke about it.
No, absolutely. One thing I'd say, too, is like, with the Bears, the team had a little bit of hope. You know, they're 5-5 or whatever. They're just having quarterback play issues. They've got bigger issues on defense and things like that. But they have quarterback play issues that, you know, like we know the quarterback play here is fine when the guy's healthy. They don't know that there. And Detroit, obviously, John, you could speak to a lot of this stuff. It feels like just complete and terminal mediocrity. Like, it does feel like it's that forever, but, you know, they brought in the new guy. They've gave him a few years. Was it two years of Patricia? This is his second year, right? Or is this his third year? Okay, third year. Like, okay, well, it's kind of run out. And you also can get a good vibe on the mood, you know? You won't get a good vibe on what the mood is here with McCarthy until probably year three, when you kind of get a truly know how the players feel about things. We've seen players buy into the defensive scheme here. We've seen that happen. There's no denying that's happened. And you've seen a little bit of results. You know, you've seen a little bit and play a little bit better.
Yeah.
And not like be the worst defense in like NFL history. Like, that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, I also think another thing is, to KT's point, where when guys are healthy, you kind of know where it's going. The reason why we heard so much about Jason Garrett, about, you know, chatter about when is he going to get fired, is because everything was in place and results weren't coming about. I think when you look at those situations like Detroit, when you look at Atlanta, when you look at all these different organizations that have struggled, they already have everything in place and they're still not getting results. So then you have to take drastic measures. With the Cowboys, everything is kind of in place when everybody's healthy. And so it's hard to kind of judge based on that. And with the Bears specifically, it's like you have everyone healthy. It's just you completely botched on a high draft pick on a premium position. So I think the Dak Prescott injury has saved a lot of the chatter that could happen, because they were struggling with Dak as well. But if Dak was still healthy and they were 3-8 or whatever, I think there'd be a lot more conversations happening than with Dak being hurt.
Well, you got to throw in the offensive line too, because if Andy Dalton had Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith and Zach Martin out there, there's like almost no doubt in my mind that the Cowboys win this division. Like, almost, I mean, he's the best quarterback out of the remaining quarterbacks in the division. And that offensive line, even without Tyron and Lyle, they were probably good enough to win it with Andy Dalton if they could just have Zach Martin healthy for the rest of the season. So Dak coupled with the offensive line, and then obviously the offseason of the COVID and not having the normal offseason that you'd want a new coach to have. So, but hey, that stuff ain't far away. Again, you're talking about Patricia's in year three. What's Gason? That has to be at least year three, right?
Adam Gason, seems like, with the Jets. Yeah. This is year two.
No, I'm sorry. I always mess that up with Adam Gase. I'm talking with the Bears. Yeah, with Nagy. I don't know why I mixed those two guys up,
year three.
I don't even think this gets to year three. If it continues to go like this, we'll hear plenty of that stuff next year.
Yeah, and Nagy's tied to the GM, Ryan Pace, there. Like, those guys will get tied together based on the Trubisky decision. Which, again, like, the Trubisky, they get killed for that Trubisky had 1 year of, you know, starting tape. And you have to shadow out what Mahomes and Watson are doing. Sure, they're a part of it, but it's about Trubisky's failures. If Trubisky is playing decent football, the Bears win games. You know,
it's about the trading up for Trubisky too. It's one thing if you sit there and Mahomes gets taken and Trubisky falls to you and you're like, hey, I mean, this is what we had. We had to pick a quarterback, you know, but fact that they traded up for the guy and we're like, this is our guy. We're not letting anything chance and letting this guy get back. And then for it to fail so spectacularly is impressive. And especially, you know, I don't want to get down Bears talk, but you know, Patrick Mahomes, they were interested in, they liked Patrick Mahomes, you know, and,
if we had Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in the same division, oh my God. Oh my God.
We need to have Dane on here in a few weeks. I always love those hypothetical, what almost happened, you know, type talks and, oh man, you know, these guys are really into this guy and it almost happened, but they went another way. And the entire trajectory of a franchise can change with those decisions. I love those talks.
You know, my problem with that type of thing with Mahomes is 10 other teams passed on him too. He was there and his college tape had major holes in it. He was making terrible decisions with the football. Where I think about this and bring it back to the division. One of the first things I do every day is open up the Athletic app and just start reading stories. And I read John's story on the NFC East. And I think that's one thing we can talk about right now. Howie Roseman built the championship team, right? No one's denying that. We all understand, even though it was weird that Nick Foles won that Super Bowl, it was a very weird year overall. That was a championship roster. Is Howie Roseman on the hot seat in Philadelphia? I don't know. He drafted Jalen Reagor before Justin Jefferson. Look at that. You know, probably would have taken CeeDee Lamb if the Cowboys didn't do it. The Carson Wentz contract. But I'm not sure that Howie Roseman is on the hot seat. Doug Peterson, you know, appears to
be
because
should be,
his inability to fix Carson Wentz, and I would contend that Doug Peterson's always been a little overrated. I always felt, even the year they won the Super Bowl, always felt like Doug Peterson was getting a little too much love for what was going on there. But Howie Roseman's on the hot seat. Here, the GM's never on the hot seat, ever. His hot seat is literally his life, and then it's his son gets it. Then God knows what happens after that. Football may not even be a sport then. But, there's no hot seat here. It's never felt like there was a correct amount of urgency here. Would you guys agree with that?
Well, this is my argument, whenever anybody brings up the Jerry GM thing. Jerry is a very hands-on owner. Even if he had a GM, we're going to go out and say that, you know what, Will McClay is now officially called the GM. Jerry's still the owner. He can still do whatever he wants. So I don't know. I hate how that always just gets brought up because, it matters if you have a GM, if you have an owner that stays out of the way and lets the GM do his job. But if the owner is going to step in there and do what he wants, it really doesn't matter if he has owner, GM, whatever next to his name, you know? And that's why when you look at Stephen Jones, I find it hard to believe, just knowing what I've seen from Stephen Jones over the last decade and everything I've heard about, I find it hard to believe he's going to be stepping in as much as Jerry does. It's just not his personality. You know, I mean, Jerry is a rare person like that.
Yeah. And John, just to real quick, provide evidence for what you're saying, for any Cowboys fans that are listening that are also Mavericks fans, look, if it was up to Donnie Nelson, Giannis would have been a Maverick on draft day. But Mark Cuban is also a strong owner in that. He stepped in and didn't let Donnie do what Donnie... I mean, this happened with the Rajon Rondo trade as well. So you have these two owners in Dallas who do offer their input, and we've seen it. I mean, Giannis would have been drafted by the Mavericks if Mark Cuban hadn't offered his 2 cents, and Donnie Nelson was allowed to do completely. Now, to Mark Cuban's credit, once he screwed that up, he backed completely off, and I don't think Jerry's going to be doing that anytime soon.
It was funny. We were actually... producing the Football GM podcast with Randy Mueller, who is a former GM of the Saints, Seahawks. And he actually said this week, they were talking about all these open GM jobs and changing philosophy. And he mentioned Jerry. And he said he had a conversation with Jerry about a decade ago. And Jerry was saying to him, yeah, maybe, you know, I'm starting to think I might need to change my philosophy around. I've gone so long being the one to call the shots that... You know, I'm starting to get the itch that I need to go in a different direction when it comes to, you know, his personnel, basically the jam job.
All right, well, and let's go down this. Let's go down the street then.
Like, how many moves have been made recently? Even say that a decade ago.
How many moves have been made recently that are just completely Jerry Jones moves that are completely like just shooting from the hips? I'm talking like we're going to go back to since we'll go 2014.
Yeah.
Since then, how many moves have been had there that you're just like, what the heck was he doing? This is just a complete Jerry move.
Greg Hardy.
Randy Gregory. I'm telling you, there's not a lot.
Randy Gregory honestly makes sense from an organizational standpoint because the value is too much to pass up there. So, I mean,
yeah, I'm not saying it completely doesn't, but
back to Roy Williams almost.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, how many moves have really been made that, like, I just think it's just easy to fall back to that. I see it all the time in comments, yeah, on stories and on Twitter and that. Yeah. But, like, what are the exact moves where you were like, I mean, believe me, 2014, he was lined up to make one, and it would have been definitely taking Johnny Manziel there. That's your traditional Jerry move. Everybody get out of the way. I got this from here. We're doing this, you know. But how many moves have really been made since then where you're just like, wow, they didn't even talk to anybody. They just took this guy. I mean, I guess some people might say that about the Mike McCarthy hire, you know, that they didn't interview more people.
Yeah, and the only one that I will say, it's not really a move that they did, but I do think if Jerry was completely calling the shots, Dak Prescott probably would have had a long-term deal by now. I think that's probably one that, you know, Steven is in the mix there, and that's why that deal hasn't gotten done. But again, that's not picking a player. It's more extending one.
Well, yeah, and my original point was not about Jerry making moves. It was about the lack of urgency in general. To me, it's about not making moves quick enough, letting Jason Garrett stay here for 10 years, not doing due diligence on this head coaching search, quite frankly, and I'm not putting everything at McCarthy. McCarthy can go in 13 games for you next year. There's a great quote. I don't have it in front of me, John, but in the article you posted today where you talked to Goose Goslin, and Goose Goslin made a point about this division, and he talked about Jimmy and some of the old, you know, he mentioned Bill Parcells, some of the classic head coaches in this division, right? He goes, who are the Hall of Fame coaches in this division? You look around, okay. Ron Rivera, maybe. Let's see here. Doug Peterson, okay, won a Super Bowl. McCarthy won a Super Bowl, right? So, like, you have all these – Joe Judge, obviously, you know, whatever. I don't know how much that has to do with, like, how bad this division is this year. I think you just have some really bad teams playing bad football. I thought it was so interesting that the Cowboys in Week 13, guys, at least in the lines, that the latest Vegas lines that I saw, they could have been updated. The Cowboys have the smallest deficit when it comes to being an underdog this week. On the lines I was looking at, Seattle, a 10-point favorite over the Giants. The Steelers, an 8.5-point favorite over Washington. Green Bay, an 8.5-point favorite over Philadelphia. And Dallas, a 7.5-point underdog to Baltimore. Like, going by that, the Cowboys have the best chance to win this week of the four teams.
Yeah, but that's not a great chance, though.
No, that's not good.
I'd say it should be a little bit closer, probably about 10. But it was good to talk to Rick about this stuff because, you know, I mean, he's been covering the league for almost 50 years, and he just comes at it from a different perspective because obviously he watched, you know, those teams in the late 80s and early 90s when, you know, the East was just great, you know, from year after year. And yeah, like in the last 13 years, they've won three Super Bowls. You know, there's the two with the Giants, and then there's the one with Philly. But that's also the only three that they've had since that really good run from the mid-80s to the late 90s. So you're talking, it's three in the last 13, but it's also three in the last 24. So yeah, three in 24 is in 24 years is pretty much what every division should get with four teams in it. So I don't know. I just look at the division, and I expect all the teams to be at least decent. They should never all be this bad. I don't even really think that this division should ever have two teams that are this bad. And it's just the way it's set up. There just isn't, you know, like you just always know that in the North that, yeah, Detroit's, if they have a good season, it's pretty much kind of surprising. Like there's just certain teams that you know aren't going to really be much of a factor. And that's become that way with like a Washington where you're just like, yeah, no one takes Washington serious anymore. Like if they get it right, maybe one day they will, but so what's the big difference, you know? And obviously people can point to Dan Snyder being the owner, just like people point to Jerry Jones. But, you know, Rick made a good point with the coaches. I mean, it is Those are legendary coaches that those teams had at that time, with to all be in the same division, Joe Gibbs, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells. I mean, that's like being in the same division, having, you know, I guess you'd have to go with Bill Belichick.
Mike Tomlin.
I was going to say Sean Payton. Yeah, you put Mike Tomlin and then Andy Reid in there. Like, I mean, I would expect that division to be very good and having, you know, two or three teams having 10-plus wins every year. But that's not this division. And here's the big thing about that is, so that's just a point to what's happened. Let's look forward, because that's what everybody likes to do. Like, do you think any of these four head coaches that these four teams currently have in the division have them headed in the right direction, that in another 3 or 4 years you see a Super Bowl contender or multiple Super Bowl contenders in this division? Because I really don't.
If Washington found a quarterback, I see direction there, but you always get the feeling that Daniel Snyder is going to come.
That's what I'm saying. When has he shown you? When has he shown you? At least with Jerry, at least you can say Jerry was the owner of the team when they won 3 Super Bowls. I know it's a long time ago, but at least you can say it. With Dan Snyder, like, what's the high point of Dan Snyder's time there?
RG3's rookie
year. I mean,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. 2012. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
RG3 telling Romo everything will be okay was the highlight of that.
Yeah. They were just knocking on the door. I thought they were going to win multiple Super Bowls.
Well, I mean, look, what are the, if you like, it's hard to do like right without putting a lot of thought into it, but like, where does McCarthy fit on the NFL head coaching rankings? Like now, how many coaches would you rather have over him?
Okay. Well, hold on. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Let's do what it was going into the season, because I think that's what would make it real
absolutely
fascinating.
Well, that Super Bowl ring doesn't go away. No matter what happens this year, you still got that, right? Like that's still there.
I wish I would have prepared for this. I got to go through my phone real quick and go through
the
games.
Well, by the way,
if we're going by what's on The Athletic with the Shields story that John mentioned, then McCarthy checks in at number 28.
Okay, see, I think that's a little harsh. It's a little harsh.
KT thinks that's a little harsh.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he's middle of the road. Okay, let's do this real quick. Cliff Kingsbury, what do you guys want?
Oh, wow, it's tough.
Yeah, but see, that one depends a lot more on, like, I think who you're giving me. Like, if you're giving me Cliff Kingsbury in a vacuum, I think I'll take McCarthy. But if you're giving me Cliff Kingsbury, like, with his quarterback that he picked in Kyler Murray, then I'll take Cliff.
Small sample size, Cliff has shown to be a pretty good fourth down guy. I'm a Kingsbury guy through and through, though, so I'll admit that.
Just glancing over, I'd say I'd probably have McCarthy somewhere like in the high 20s, kind of about where, somewhere in the neighborhood of where they drafted last year.
Okay, so like, John Harbaugh for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tough one right here, Sean McDermott.
I'd rather have McCarthy.
Okay, McCarthy.
I think I'd rather have McCarthy.
Matt Rhule, not enough of a track record to go there, right? You wouldn't rather have Vic Fangio, would you?
No.
No.
What about Matt LaFleur?
Yes.
What about Frank Reich?
Yes. Reich. Yes.
Okay.
Do I get Eberflus too?
Andy Reid. Of course, yeah.
Of course. Andy Reid.
No.
Are you being serious?
Pass.
a friend and I were talking the other day. I feel like everyone, and I'm sorry to everybody listening to this, but I always have to throw in one Lions reference.
No, I love it.
We literally were talking about this scenario. We were like I would give up every good season that I saw the Pistons and Tigers. Obviously, there wasn't many with the Lions, and I've never cared about hockey. I would give up any of that for the Lions to have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Like, and I'm talking that those teams can be bad the entire time too. Like, I would give it up all if you could just give, and this is giving them to the Lions. There's a good chance the Lions screw this thing up. But if you can give those two guys, I mean, that's the thing. Like, when I was talking to Rick about this, like, Rick was pointing out, like, how, look at how many of these Hall of Fame coaches are, like, linked with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Like, it goes hand in hand with so many of them. And then when we were talking, I didn't really find it a spot to fit in the article, but he brought up a good point. He made an argument of how you could make a serious case for Joe Gibbs being the all-time great because of the fact that he never had one of those Hall of Fame quarterbacks and won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. It is pretty wild to think that you did it because you don't see that anymore. But if you could put together Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes, like, I mean, I would think that's at least three Super Bowls right there. And but that's maybe might even be low.
You're telling me that Wayne Fonts and Scott Mitchell wasn't good enough for you, John?
Hey, that might be the gold standard of Detroit Lions football, but no. Andy Reid, absolutely. We talked too much about that than we even should have. Go to the next one.
John Gruden.
That's all I was going to say. Yes. Gruden.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. There's five. Sean McVay.
Yes.
Why are you even saying these names?
Six. Yes. Mike Zimmer.
Yes.
McCarthy beat Zimmer up and down for 10 years.
Aaron Rodgers beat Zimmer up and down.
Thank you. Brian Flores. Tough one there, huh? That's a quick turnaround.
He's doing a lot with a little there. Yeah, he's in the conversation.
It's in that same group.
He might be the one guy, too, of all those like Belichick clones. Or not clones. Belichick understudies. He might be a clone. What am I, Jim Rome? What the hell? One of those like understudies, though, is like, I'm not trying to put on a front. I'm not trying to be a hard ass. This is who I am. Hey. I'm not trying to be.
Hold on. Let's stay on this for a second. Uh-huh. Everyone just close your eyes real quick and think of the word clone. And think of what Bill Belichick looks like. Then look at, hold on. I'm going to give you three names. Look at what Bill Belichick looks like, Brian Flores, Matt Patricia, and then everyone just buckle up for this, Charlie Weiss. None of these guys are his clones, okay?
Dude,
and
Parcells,
Steve,
too. Parcells. They're all from Parcells' goatee tree, right?
Steve Belichick doesn't even look like his dad.
Oh, my God. Steve Belichick.
He looks like Joe Dirt.
Hey, the only clone that's a coach in the NFL is the offensive coordinator for the Giants right now.
Jason? Dude, there's some, yeah. We'll talk about that. I'll get some on him in a minute. Sean Android. Payton, of course. Belichick. So I'm up to 10. Peterson?
This year for sure, but now I don't even know. I'd put them in the same conversation. I think they're pretty even.
Oh, Mike Tomlin's elite.
Oh my God, easy.
Gosh.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bruce Arians.
Yep.
John?
Man.
No, so that's why this conversation's so frustrating, because this is the Dallas freaking Cowboys and you're Jerry freaking Jones. Go get one of these guys. What are you doing? You know, like you should have the number one name in football, just because you're the Cowboys.
Well, they thought McCarthy was that name, but I don't know.
Bruce Arians, the no risk it, no biscuit. I'm a big fan of that because that's entertaining to watch, but it doesn't seem to be, I don't know. I would like to see this season play out, because I do think Tampa is still going to be in the mix. So I would say yes on Arians. Yeah.
Ron Rivera?
Yes.
And Mike Vrabel?
Yes.
Okay. So what I would say, that's about 16 we named.
Mike Vrabel would be the exact opposite of the Bruce Arians with this team.
McCarthy.
He'd be doubling down on running the football, offensive line, good defense. I mean, they'd be a better team, but they wouldn't. I mean, there is zero chance they would have been going for fake punts on fourth and long from their own 24.
And he's your scout team linebacker every week. You know, I would take McCarthy over both Doug Peterson and Ron Rivera. I know it might seem shocking to you guys, but I truly would. Look, Mike McCarthy, again, I got to be so clear about this because I'm so critical of him. He can build a consistent winner, and that's the thing that bothered me most with Jason. The inability to build a consistent winning program. And I know you can have a couple Romo years, but 8-8 is not a consistent winning program, right? And that was a problem. McCarthy did that. He built a consistent winning program, and there's something to be said for that, because that's, at the end of the day, that's all you want. You want your team to have a shot in the playoffs every year. I need to be there. I need to be in the dance. And that's why Ravens fans and Packers fans and Patriots fans and Seahawks fans are all and Saints fans, they all love their life, because they go to the playoffs every year and they've got a team that contends. And that should never be a problem here. So that's McCarthy's number one job, is get us to the playoffs every year and give us a chance and then go win those games. You know, I had issues with Jason even getting there and doing that. I think McCarthy can do that. It's just, you know, it's going to need to happen fast, because this year is likely going to be a blemish on your radar, and you could end up being a playoff team. You could end up being a playoff team, but this year is likely going to be a blemish on this thing. So
I don't know, 3-8. If they're a playoff team, we're in December, week 13. If they make the playoffs, wow. Congrats.
When we do this thing,
promote the guy.
When we do this podcast Wednesday morning after the Ravens game and the Cowboys lose, we're going to be in the same damn position that we're in right now, because every other NFC East team is going to lose this week. And it's going to be the same thing, just with less time on the schedule, with 4 weeks remaining. And the Cowboys are going to have the Bengals, a team who's probably running out Ryan Finley, or probably Brandon Allen. Like they're gonna have a chance to beat the Bengals, and I think they'll do it. So like, whatever happens this week, next week's gonna change everything. The Eagles tie with the Bengals. This thing's gonna come down to the Cowboys and how they play the Eagles and the Giants in week 16 and 17. And that could be a Colt McCoy game. That could be a Jalen Hurts game. I think it's wild if they're still running Carson Wentz out there trying to win the division. But that's all happening, and that's how they think about it. And I know as this is all happening, we've got Team Tank lined up, and they've got their arms are drawn, right? They're ready to go, right? I understand that, but like, it's not how this team's thinking about it. This team's trying to win the game. And you have the Leighton Vander Esch quote in your article, John, that was excellent.
I just want to say real quick, though, going back to your previous point about expecting, you know, McCarthy to bring in consistency and be like what they did in Green Bay, unlike Jason Garrett. There is one alarming thing about this season that goes against that point, and that's the fact that how do you not put together two good back-to-back games?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even asking for a winning record. I'm not asking for a 500 record. I know it's not going to be a good season, but how do you not put together two good games back-to-back? That should cause a little bit of concern.
Yeah, this is not at all a shot at either of these two guys. I want to be really clear. But I do think it's fair to say that Romo and Dak, they've yet to set a standard of winning in the organization, which had been done in Green Bay after Brett Favre did it. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers continued it. And again, that's not on these guys, but the standard of winning, which does emanate throughout the locker room and does emanate throughout the culture and does emanate throughout the fan base and coaching staff, that does not exist here.
It doesn't, but I think their floor is pretty high with those two guys. When you're talking about Romo or Dak in their prime, but neither of them are Rodgers. So let's say for me, we'll take you out of this, KT. Maybe you might be biased, maybe not with the Packers. But for me, I would say that with Aaron Rodgers, I think of him like when he's healthy and the team's good, I think of that being double-digit wins every single year. With Romo and Dak healthy, I think of you having a chance at 9 or 10 wins, but I think that you're winning at least 7 or 8. And I think 7 or 8 is your basement. I think that, and you have the chance to win 10 or 11. Like you're not quite at that Rodgers level, but you're a little bit below it, but those guys aren't on Rodgers level. So I don't think that you can expect the same thing as, and they're obviously not on Brett Favre's level either. I mean, so I think that they're pretty good. And so what I'm getting at is like, so if the organization had Aaron Rodgers, the organization had Brett Favre in their prime, like I think that bar would be a little bit higher with those guys.
Yeah, and I also think, like, you know, I know, KT, you're not doing this in terms of, you know, just placing the blame on them, but it goes back to what John was saying when we were discussing all the coaches, right? Like, quarterbacks and coaches almost go hand in hand so much. So I do think that in a lot of ways, it really sucks that Parcells was here at the very end of Romo. He got Romo in the door and then just, you know, retired, because I would have loved to see 5-6 years of Parcells and Romo together and see if they would have established that thing that then Romo could pass on to the next person. But it's hard to do that when you're just the quarterback. I think that's the main issue.
What if instead of handing it off or Bill Parcells still being here, what if he would have handed it off to Sean Payton?
Man.
And then you would add him with Romo, and then Romo would then, and then you go into Dak with Sean Payton.
Y'all know about that story of Payton wanting to trade for Romo before they got Drew Brees. Like, but Parcells wouldn't let him go.
Yeah,
in Dallas,
they would have been great together too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm glad we had Romo, but you're right, man. That's probably the difference, right? I mean, Romo was just hurt, but when he was in there, they were good. I mean, that was his big problem. That's why they couldn't establish a winning identity, because he wasn't out there. In 2013, it was Kyle Orton trying to win the division. It wasn't him, you know? That was his main issue.
And so in that article, when I talked to Rick about, and he mentions the gold standard era with those coaches like that, there was a chance for this division to still have that. And that could have been, now not three, but I think two, and that would be, is if Sean Payton, obviously, if he would have got the Cowboys coaching job, I still think he's the Cowboys coach. I don't know that he wins the Super Bowl. It's hard to predict that, but he's still the Cowboys coach right now. I feel very strongly about that. And if Philadelphia could have stuck with Andy Reid, then you have two guys that could be potential the Hall of Fame, like two of the best coaches in the game. Now, obviously, Philly got tired of him. I'm sure that there's reasons for that, but he's a Hall of Fame type elite head coach. If you could have had those two guys in the division for a long period of time, then you're looking at where you could have had multiple Super Bowls, maybe, you know, the Eagles and the Cowboys trade off, but, you know, that obviously didn't happen, and now you're where you are right now, so.
Would you guys agree? I mean, it does feel like, because what the Eagles did with Carson Wentz, and because there's really no end in sight right now of that improving, it does appear like Washington and New York, you kind of look at those teams and you go, like, I can see them building something slowly. Still depends on quarterback situation there for both of them. I don't think anyone's sold on Daniel Jones, and I don't think anyone thinks Washington has any idea what they want to do at quarterback over the next 3 years. But would you guys agree that the brightest shining star in the division, if we had to look ahead past this year, and then over the next 3 years, would you guys agree that it's the Cowboys?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Mainly, and it all comes down to the quarterback position for me. I think the Cowboys have the brightest outlook at quarterback, and, you know, we'll see what happens with McCarthy. But you go down the road, Carson Wentz. I don't know that he's broken to where he can't be fixed at all, but I don't think that he can come back and be that MVP caliber guy. We'll see what happens with Daniel Jones, and there's unknown in Washington. So, yeah, just by quarterback, I think you have to go with the Cowboys.
I also would go with the Cowboys because of just what the rest of the division is. It's not like they have, like I'll give you a you know, obviously you could say, oh, well, if the Chiefs were in here, then no way. But, like, I'm not going to go that high, but I'll go with the team that's a little bit lower, and I'll say the Rams. If the Rams were in the NFC East with Sean McVay, I would say no. I don't think that the Cowboys have a brighter future than the Rams. But out of what's in here with where the Eagles are at right now, and obviously, you know, Washington and the Giants, I would say, yeah, the Cowboys do have the brightest future, but I just don't think that that's a very high bar is what I'm saying.
You know, the young quarterbacks that have taken the league by storm, a lot of them are in the AFC. I think that's something that, aside from Kyler to the Cardinals, you start looking like, okay, Herbert's impressed a lot of people. AFC, obviously Mahomes, not to mention Deshaun Watson, all that type of thing. You know, Wentz and Goff still have a lot to prove. And I know Goff, I'm a Jared Goff believer.
Oh, real quick. I didn't say the Rams because of anything I felt about Jared Goff. It's that I really feel that Sean McVay, if the Goff doesn't work out, I'm very confident next guy gets in there, he's going to have success with him. I don't feel that same way about the rest of the NFC East.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And it's interesting that the NFC East could still continue to be wide open as it, I mean, kind of is this year. Good teams up there at the top. But, you know, Rodgers is old. Breeze is old. The Saints are not a good team right now. They've gotten an easy schedule. You watch the Saints play the last few weeks with Taysom Hill at quarterback. You're not seeing a good team. They've got a good defense. You're not seeing a good offensive football team. Brady is a mess right now in Tampa Bay. And how that plays out is going to be fascinating. Carolina still doesn't have a quarterback. I know they're kind of been a decent team. Matt Ryan's getting older, and they're a bad team right now. But there's just, like, I look around at the NFC and I go, man, Dak has got the chance, outside of maybe the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now and Russell Wilson, to be that third guy in the conference. And that gives you a chance every year if you have that. So, you know. That's some divisional talk. Offensive line's banged up, right? This is not going to get any better for Tuesday night. We're looking at Terrence Steele. We're looking at Brandon Knight, guys, right?
Oh, that's exactly what we're looking at. And
oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Bring it on.
They're going to have some time to practice. So, you know, it might be able to look better than against Washington, but you can't honestly expect it to look that much better. So, they're in trouble up front, and That's the thing right there. I mean, as soon as Zach Martin went down, obviously it wasn't on the level of when Dak went down, but you knew that they were going to be in a lot of trouble. I mean, it's just, there aren't enough pieces there that are of high enough quality for them to just to kind of plug the next guy in and keep winning. So, no, it's at least a couple of weeks for Zach Martin. And I think these next couple of weeks leading up to that will have a lot of say in that, because if they keep losing and they're a few games back, why would he come back? It would make no sense to bring him back at the end of the year if they're already out of it. So, at least a couple more weeks for Zach Martin and Cam Irving.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You know, watching that Baltimore game yesterday, and obviously they didn't have Lamar Jackson, but I was sitting there going, okay, well, we're going to get ran on this week or next week. You know, obviously with Lamar, they will be throwing a little more than they were yesterday with RG3. But, man, I'm selling out against the run because that's what Baltimore's going to try to do right now. They need a win bad. I do think Baltimore is a playoff team. I truly believe they'll get it together. But they've had some problems offensively moving the ball, having some problems, you know, with weapons. You know, outside of Mark Andrews, outside of Marquise Brown, occasionally they'll get it to Willie Snead. You know, there's a reason they're the team that added Dez Bryant. They're the team who needed to add another weapon. Dez hasn't done hardly anything for them. But If you look closely, he is in their three wide receiver packages. Granted, they play a lot of two tight end, you know, ground it and pound it style. But when they go to 11 personnel and get three wide receivers on the field, Dez is in the game. So I think there's a chance you see them try to get the ball to Dez. You know, they weren't trying to throw it at all yesterday. But before that, they did, you know, workshop some plays, some design plays where it was clear they were trying to get Dez on a drag route or something, trying to get him the ball. So I think you'll see Dez Bryant have a few catches. John, you were talking about, did you put an official poll out online on Twitter on this?
I did a few hours before we started recording this. So we're like a little over 1,100 votes. So it's still early on here, but it's 75%. Of Cowboys fans, okay? I'm asking Cowboys fans what they want to see from Dez Bryant Tuesday night, and 75% said that they want to see him go off and they want to see him have a good game. And that just surprises me because I feel like while I understand why Dez Bryant is beloved amongst Cowboys fans, I think it also says something about the state of where this team's at right now, where it's like,
yeah.
I think people are losing interest in caring about, like, you know, the whole the whole idea of, you know, waiting all day for a Sunday night. Like, no, nobody in Dallas is doing that. You know, like, no one's really looking forward to this. It's like, they're going to watch because there's only 16 games, but like, no one's really looking forward to it. Like, this is going to be the one that turns it around. You know, like, you're kind of looking at it like, this could get ugly. When it starts getting ugly, I'm turning it off, but this is my team, so I'll watch them. And it'll be interesting to see, like, I don't know, just watching their offense with Robert Griffin and even with Lamar Jackson. Like, I don't know what kind of major damage Dez could do. Obviously, the key would be if he had a touchdown. He hasn't had one since 2017. That would be a huge moment, obviously. But I just found it interesting that Cowboys fan, that many Cowboys fans are leaning towards they want to see Dez have a good game. You know, I mean, now they could be, oh, I want to see him have a good game, but then the Ravens still lose. Find that a little hard to believe. But
yeah, what's the
fact that they want to see him play well is interesting to me.
Saad, what's that percentage if the Cowboys are 8-3?
Oh, man, I don't think that there's – I mean, I think they would want – I think Dez is at a level where I still think people would want him to do well, but not, like, go off, which I think is the wording in John's poll is, like, you know, do you want him to, like, go off? I don't think anyone would want him to go off in that scenario.
Yeah, I said huge game slash throw up the X. So
I think they want
a
him
huge
to have
game
it.
For him. Obviously, in his prime, you're talking like over 100 yards and maybe a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
And here, I think if he just had a touchdown and maybe like 20, 30, 40 yards, like that would be huge. And really, if you tell me Dez does that, you don't need to tell me anything about the rest of the game. I already know that the Ravens won.
Yeah, Dez might be, John, and correct me on this, he might be the most beloved player that I covered in the past decade for the Cowboys fans, like the most worshipped, like play. I mean, people are in, you can say Dak, but Dak has a lot of haters. I don't know if Dez had a lot of haters.
Well, I was
going to
say Romo too.
Romo had a lot of haters. Dez is universal love from Cowboys fans. For the most part.
Universal.
No, I mean, he did have some blowups. He did have some blowups, but he was
universal, but I get your point. He's in the conversation.
There, you saw more 88s in the crowd than any number, fan favorite. I think maybe just for those nostalgic feels, they'd want to see Dez catch a touchdown, throw up the X. They care more about that than seeing Mike McCarthy get to 4-8 on the season or whatever.
Well,
right
even
now.
If Dez,
even
if Dez isn't the number one on that list, he's in whatever would be the top three.
Yes.
And so when you look at that three of Dez, Romo, and Dak, the other two aren't going to be on the field Tuesday
night. Jason Witten, maybe. I don't know. He might be on there.
And he would not be on the field Tuesday night either. So Dez is the guy that there's going to be so many people that connect with, you know, watching him play for this previous decade. And so, yeah, I mean, for sure, I would put him at the top of that list.
Yeah, I also think I think part of the reason why he's so beloved is not just because of, you know, 2013-14 when he was just balling out, but also in the last 3 or 4 years since he's been trying to come back, he's basically openly begged the Cowboys to bring him back. And so I think for Cowboys fans, that resonates a lot where, you know, it's not just what he did in the glory days. He loves the Cowboys so much that he wants to come back, but ownership and front office wouldn't do it. But Dez has not been very – I mean, I know he went off a few times about the Garrett guys or whatever, but ever since he's been on the comeback trail, he has not made a secret – and Jerry has said he thinks about it in the shower and all these different kind of things. So I think all that stuff together is why everyone loves Dez.
CeeDee Lamb slammed the door on that for sure. Like that's probably made him never come back. Like it's never happening. If they would have been kind of low at receiver this year, I wonder.
As they traded for Amari Cooper, that wasn't happening. The other part though, that was interesting that factors in with Dez still is that while some knocked him for how passionate and how he wore his emotions on his sleeve on the sideline, there's also a lot of people that feel like this current team is lacking that.
Right.
So that's another thing that people like about Dez Bryant that's brought up quite often.
Yeah. And like it's one of those things too, where Dez, I think fans have gotten a little smarter over the years and understanding salary caps and things like that. I think there was a good portion of the fan base that understood why the cut happened. Now, I think the 2017 wide receiver group that you were running out there was, you know, not good. Kind of make you go, oh, geez, really? But like, I do think a lot of people did kind of understand, you know why it happened. But you know, I can't wait to watch him. I mean, yesterday I was even like, I was doing my radio show, but I was still watching the TV. I was like, man, this is awesome. They're canceling the Kelly Clarkson show and Ellen for Wednesday afternoon football. It's weird, but okay, I'm watching RG3 and Dez on the Ravens. It was such a wild experience. Just to watch all that happen and for the game to be somewhat competitive was fun. Now we should make our picks for this Baltimore game. Kent, I have a question on your, you had a little hypothetical. Did you do that off the top or did you have another one?
I haven't done it yet, but we were we were kind of talking about this subject and we were talking about the NFC East. So, let's freeze in time these two teams, the Cowboys and the Ravens. Okay. The 2020 Cowboys and the 2020 Ravens. You say everybody is healthy, okay, on both sides. So the Ravens have Lamar Jackson, the Cowboys have Dak. Everybody's healthy. Who would you want to be for the next 3 years? Because I feel like the Ravens remind me of the Cowboys a lot of ways in the AFC. They're always kind of in the conversation. They're always in the competing in the division. They're never really able to get over the hump. They did that 1 year with Joe Flacco, but they're kind of the opposite. You know, they rely heavily on their defense. Their defense is always good. The Cowboys rely heavily on their offense. Their offense is always good. But if you were to pick one of these teams, the 2020 versions, freeze them in time, who would you bet on for the next 3 years?
Well, I mean, I'm betting on the Ravens just because they're a better run organization. So.
But, I mean, the caveat there is they're in the AFC. I mean, you've got to face the Chiefs for the next 3 years. I mean, the path to success might be a lot more difficult in the AFC than it is in the NFC.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll still take the Ravens. Better run organization, better head coach.
Better head coach. That's what it comes down to for me.
their basement on defense is just so much higher than what the Cowboys' basement is on defense. And then so you go over to the offense. And yeah, I give the Cowboys the edge. They have, obviously, if you're talking in a perfect scenario, they have the offensive line back, Dak's healthy, they have outstanding wide receivers. But Lamar Jackson does enough to at least keep them in the conversation. Like, 3 years from now, I don't even know what this Cowboys defense is going to look like. Like, are they adding on to what they have right now and then it grows? Or do they continue to go down a path next season, adding some pieces, and then that direction doesn't work, and then in 2 years, it's back to a 4-3, and like, The Ravens have an identity that I don't see changing. Like the Cowboys, like I don't know 2 years from now if Mike McCarthy's still the head coach. Like I feel like with the Ravens, they're just that organization. Even if they, let's say John Harbaugh wasn't the coach 2 years from now, they're just very solid. And they remind me a lot of the Steelers, where it's like, I guess I always go back to this because it's like it's so hard to project like who's going to win the Super Bowl. Like I don't know that the Cowboys I wouldn't sit here and say the Cowboys are winning the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. I wouldn't say the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. But when I look at where their basements are, like what's the worst possible scenario? I feel like the Ravens is higher than the Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, like John said, it goes back to like Steve Bisciotti. And I think the way that he runs that organization is, you know, really good. But also, I think, you know, John Harbaugh and the coaching matters to me a lot because I always thought John Harbaugh was a really good coach, but the way that we saw him transform that entire roster to fit Lamar Jackson, and it did not take him half a decade to do that. I mean, they were drafting tight ends like crazy. They were adding tight ends, and they built that offense to fit everything Lamar Jackson does and produce an MVP season out of him, and I think that just goes a long way.
And I just feel like the Ravens defense is always, and I know that there's some years where you can't just say, oh yeah, here's the Ravens defense. They're going to be elite. Like I'm not saying every single one of them is like the Ray Lewis, you know, defense, but they are always pretty strong over there where it's like, I can't really say the Cowboys are like that even on offense. Like I can't sit there and say every single year, I expect them to be outstanding there. Whereas like the Ravens, you can kind of hang your hat on that they're at least going to be good there. And then on offense, like, I mean, they've already shown you the organization's won a Super Bowl with really having no offense at all. And Trent Dilfer is the quarterback because their defense is played at such an elite level. And so if they can get the right pieces there, you know, I feel stronger about their defense being able to, and as Ken said, it's a great point that you're going to have to go against Patrick Mahomes, and that's not easy. But if you have the right defense on the right day, maybe you have a really great regular season and you're playing in Baltimore, you know, that could happen. I haven't seen the Cowboys even get past the second round of the playoffs for me to sit there when there's obviously teams that they, years 2014, 16, 18, they were probably good enough to do that and didn't do it. So again, I just, for the next 3 years, I mean, for me, to be honest with you, it's a pretty easy bet.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is also, look, Baltimore has gone through Brady versus Manning Brady and Manning, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning for the last two decades, right? And I mean, they got through Tom Brady to win the one ring that they did. They've had to go through Peyton Manning as well. I know Pat Mahomes is on like this different level, and I'm not arguing that, but they've done this before and they got through and won a Super Bowl. The Cowboys haven't done that in the last 25 years, and they haven't had to go through Tom Brady or Peyton Manning on an annual basis. And so, you know, I'll still take my bets with going through Mahomes.
Okay, so I like what a lot of you guys said, right? But I think you have to go back to the question. The next 3 years, there's no one's turning it around in this division the next 3 years. I mean, I'd be highly surprised if any of these teams are really good in the next 3 years. The Cowboys have the best chance to be really good. I truly believe that. There's enough weapons on the roster. They need really more good players.
Really good in the NFC or really good in the NFC East?
That's part of the question, though.
Yeah.
Let me just take it to the next level then. You can tell me that they win the NFC East for 3 years and I still might take the Ravens. Because what does that get you? We saw in 14, 16, and 18 them win the division, and then they go and they lose hosting playoff games. Like I haven't seen them get even past that for me to even give them the benefit of the doubt in that sense.
I'm just saying, I think the road for the Cowboys to go make the playoffs and contend is a little easier than it is.
No, I don't think there's any argument about that. No, there's no question about that.
Maybe a little easier, but also you did add the NFL added a playoff spot now. Like John said, I'll still take the Baltimore Ravens in a wild card over the Cowboys winning the division.
Yeah, I guess it goes back to the segment I do on my movie podcast, Mad About Movies. Laugh at us in the future. If we're wrong in 3 years, and then laugh at us. The Cowboys have won a Super Bowl and the Ravens have flamed out, then laugh at us. But
yeah,
if
the Cowboys
guys,
win a Super Bowl
the
in the next 3 years, if the Cowboys win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, I will gladly take all the heat for any of that.
I'll be laughing.
Yeah, I love
projecting.
Why they play the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
McCarthy's my boy!
Yeah.
First time you've ever said that on the show. Last time, probably.
First time, long time, last time.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Kevin, picks.
Well, yeah, I want to get your picks, and I will end it with a final question, because I got something for you guys. Picks, we start with me. We all got losses last week, right? We're good with that? Okay. All right, the records are not good, but Kent still has the lead with one loss this year. We all have two losses. I've got Baltimore winning, but I do think it's going to be close. I think Baltimore's failed to get explosive plays, and they have been reduced to a one-dimensional team. And until that gets figured out, and maybe the perfect recipe for figuring that out is playing the Cowboys, but until that gets figured out, I don't see them running away with this game. I'm going Baltimore 20, Cowboys 13. 20. Yeah. It's going to be a fast game. A lot of carries.
I wrote down 24-13 before the show started, and I'm sticking with that. I will say that if there was no COVID for Lamar Jackson, I think it could be 35-14 possibly. But the fact that he has still not returned to practice, even if he returns and has, you know, a couple days to practice and that, there still is that layoff time that I could see that being a little bit of an issue. So I'll give the Cowboys a benefit of the doubt there, but no, I would be very surprised if the Cowboys won this game. So yeah, 24-13.
So yeah, I'll go Ravens 28-17. Again, same thing. I just don't think that the Cowboys have enough right now, and I think the Ravens will go late in the game. They'll have one of those backbreaking drives where they're just gonna put the Cowboys away. So 28-17.
Yeah, and it will be interesting if Lamar ends up playing in this game. It could change the whole trajectory of this prediction because, you know, Harbaugh hasn't said yes or no. So, I mean, who knows if he ends up playing on Tuesday night. But given the rosters as they are now, I don't think the Cowboys really have much of an offense up there. It is going to be in Baltimore, outdoor game, cold. So I think they muster up a touchdown, but I think we're going to see some Greg Zuerlein action. So I'll give, this is tough. I'll go Ravens 20, Cowboys 16. I think it's a little closer than you guys, but I think it's so close.
I'm glad you brought up the cold weather, because that's a good test of, we've seen this Cowboys team. I think about that Chicago, Thursday night game. We've seen this team kind of not show a lot of physicality out when it gets cold. A lot of that kind of want to, gonna be looking for that for sure. Now I want to end this with a very quick question. You're really just gonna get one answer, guys. All right, and I'll start with you, Ken. I want to start with you on this one, as our show movie buff. Okay. What is the best Christmas movie?
Wow, I was having a conversation with some, doing a radio hit the other day talking about this. I think Home Alone. I watched Home Alone last week.
Yes.
I think Home Alone probably stands the test of time as the best family Christmas movie. Now, there are varying degrees. You can go, if you want to go really raunchy, you go The Bad Santa. A little less raunchy with A Christmas Vacation. But I think, the most generic best Christmas movie is probably Home Alone. Home Alone 1. I'm a Home Alone 2 fan. I love Home Alone 2.
I do, yeah.
But I think Home Alone 1 is probably the best ever. Yeah, that'd be my answer. What about you, Home KT? Alone.
I want to go last.
Okay, Saad.
Yeah, so I definitely say Home Alone. I tweeted it the other day. I was watching Home Alone just last night. I think Home Alone, and I don't really have a strong feeling between Home Alone or Home Alone 2. I think they're both fantastic. Underrated. I do have one underrated movie though, and this is a super kiddish movie. And it's nostalgia for me, but I also have little baby cousins that I watch this with. Polar Express, solid movie with a good soundtrack. It's animated and stuff. But Polar Express is a really good movie as well, but I'm definitely going with Home Alone.
Okay, I'm gonna put you under the gun, Saad, and not allow you to have Home Alone because Kent drafted it first. I know I'm adding this rule.
Okay.
So would it be Home Alone 2 or would it be Polar Express for you?
Ooh, that's tough. Probably Home Alone 2. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, shots fired at the
Polar Express. I want to throw some honorable mentions in there too. With Charlie Brown Christmas. And
Hold on.
As well. Grinch is great.
Yeah, I want to see what John picks first.
John's not going to pick Charlie Brown Christmas. Come on, John.
We've talked about this before. I want to say last Christmas we did the same thing. I don't know if that you could ask me an easier question than this. It's not even close. It's so far. I love Home Alone, but National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is the best Christmas movie, and I can just watch that over and over again. It doesn't even have to be Christmas time, and I can watch that movie. It's so good. When Clark says to Eddie, "If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now."
Yeah,
that literally never gets old. That is on I put that right up there with some of Michael Scott's best lines in The Office.
The line that always gets me is when they're standing out waiting for the Christmas lights to be turned on, and Audrey's like, "What if one of my friends drives by and see us standing out in the lawn in our pajamas?" And then the grandpa says, "If they know your father, they won't think anything of it." I love that. So good.
That would have been mine.
Classic.
That would have been mine. So I'll change it.
Hold on, real quick. Let me just. I shouldn't even say this out. I should say this for after the podcast because I could be embarrassed with this by even speaking this into existence, but. Is that Chevy Chase's best movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hands down.
I'm just trying to think. Am I missing something?
Yeah.
Me, it is, but I'm just trying to think. Am I missing one?
Filmography is not as deep as you would think it would be. I mean, it's Caddyshack, Fletch. There's some random 80s. Caddyshack 2. Some random ones he appeared in. Vacation, obviously.
That's what I was going to say. Saying that, then you definitely say
Clark Griswold is definitely his best character.
Yeah,
and that's his best movie as Clark Griswold, so I would say yes. Okay. Yeah, that's a great answer. What about you, Kevin?
It's Bad Santa for me. It's Christmas Vacation, but it's Bad Santa is number two, so there's that. Now, nice. Can I just, for 1 second, though, can we discuss just one thing on Jingle All the Way real quick? Are we all familiar with Jingle All the Way?
Yes.
Why was Arnold Schwarzenegger such a bad dad? Have you guys gone and really taken a look at that movie recently? It was on the other night. And he doesn't even have an excuse. It's not I was late from work. He's just missing his son's sports games, or he's missing the Christmas play. And okay, it's no wonder Phil Hartman is coming in and hitting on your wife. You're never around.
Making
and your
cookies.
Kid's a smart aleck. Your kid's a smart aleck. And I think they punished the kid by making him be Anakin Skywalker. Because his kid's a little jerk, too.
Yeah, not only were you a bad dad, but you raised an annoying kid, too. Yeah.
Like, dude, give me a good excuse. Like, trust me. Like, I get it. If you want to be a bad father, like, just have an excuse. Have a good excuse. It's just, I'm sorry, I was late. It's like, that doesn't work, Arnold. And then he went into political office. Unbelievable.
Wow. There. End of soapbox.
Indeed.
End of soapbox. I didn't think this podcast would end with a rant about Arnold Schwarzenegger's role in Jingle All the Way, but here we are.
Well, I think we've talked enough Cowboy special teams. Let's be honest.
No.
Good luck. Hey, everyone, keep hanging out at The Athletic, though. I'm telling you, whether it's downloading that app, checking out the website, telling a friend, text a friend. text a friend or two. Just say, hey, check it out, The Athletic. Christmas time, you know, that type of thing.
Dollar a week.
Dollar a week? I mean, are you kidding me? I think you're better than that. Also, check out tons of podcasts, things like that. Mavs season getting going, so Tim Cato will be all over that. Rangers off season, a big story yesterday from Levi Weaver regarding Elvis Andrews getting moved off of shortstop for Isaiah Kiner Falefa. Stars are going to get it going at some point. The NHL is kind of being quiet about that. Tons of college football, NFL content as well from John and Sod and Bob Stern, and of course all the podcasts. So tell a friend. For Father John Mashoda, for Saad Youssef, for our producer Kent Garrison, I'm Kevin Turner. We'll talk to you next week after Cowboys and Ravens on the next edition of About Them Cowboys.
Y'all stay corona free, all right? And God bless.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.